Jam Session is a podcast where two guys who grew up in Dallas-Fort Worth discuss sports, craft beer, life, and their experiences living in one of America's most vibrant cities. If you love sports, you're going to love this show. If you love craft beer or you're curious about it, you'll love this show. Great conversations with good friends is what Jam Session is all about.
Welcome. It's nice to have you here. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
You're listening to the Jam Session Podcast.
I withdrawed that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
With Cowboys insider...
What's your name?
Jean-Jacques Taylor.
That's my name.
Radio personality and craft beer expert, Matt McLaren.
He's a very strange young man.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing.
And now, the Jam Session Podcast.
It is indeed Jam Session. Subscribe, rate, and review, and hang out with us for a while. Right here on the Jam Session Podcast, sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal. The moment we've all been waiting for has arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, the radio, TV, and now podcast star, the sexy Jean-Jacques Taylor.
What up, doc?
I would be the non-sexy one. It's Matt McLaren, and this is Jam Session, the podcast, version 130, asking simply that you prepare to be dazzled.
If not entertained.
I can tell you this from personal experience. The attorneys at Greening Law, if you've been hurt in a car accident, if you've experienced malpractice, perhaps from a physician, a hospital, injured on the premises of a business, you've got to call the lawyers at Greening Law. They will take care of you. They will handle your case. They will do all the legal stuff and all the, who do I call? How do I do this? What do I do here? So that truly all you have to do is worry about making sure you get better.
That's the best thing about Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. It's they think of all the things that you don't know that you're supposed to think of. And I got to tell you the truth, Matt. I was at an event today at a graduation, and I saw a kid fall, take a tumble from about two steps.
Dang.
And his mom fell behind him, and they both left on a stretcher.
Jeez.
And the only thing I could think of was, man, I hope they got a number for Greening Law just to call and check in and get a free consultation. I mean, by now, y'all know the number. You pick it up and you dial it. And then they tell you, hey, whether they can help you or whether it's a good fit or not.
Yeah, and the cool thing is consultations are free, man. So you can call and figure it out. Doesn't cost you anything. And they only get paid if you get compensated. All right? So keep that in mind. And again, that number, 972-934-8900. 972-934-8900. Let them take care of that part that frustrates you so truly you can focus on getting better off. Call now. It's Greening Law. Robert Greening and his green team, office, Dallas, Texas. So here we are, two preseason games in. I do wonder, and yet I don't, because, well, I mean, honestly, if Dak Prescott had played and Zeke had played and CeeDee and Amari had played and Tyron and Zach and Tank and all these names, like literally the six most important guys to the team aren't playing.
Pretty much.
But I look at it and I just wonder, I was like, man, Garrett Gilbert's supposed to be your backup and they can't score a touchdown to save their lives. Is there, but I know there's not, and see, this is where the frustration of the preseason comes in. I know there's not a problem with the offense, but the offense that I'm watching has a problem.
Yeah, but the reality is you can't care about the offense that you're watching because it's not the real offense.
Right, but which is hard. That's a weird dichotomy, though.
It is, but you just have to. You know, I've been walking around lately, man, and it's part of a life philosophy for me. And it's all about believe what you know, not what you see. Mm. I've just taken that up as a mantra over the last few months. Believe what you know, not what you see. So what you know is that the Cowboys have a very dynamic offense that's capable of scoring 30 points a game and being a top five NFL offense. That's not what you see.
Right.
You can't even, and check this out, man. When it comes to Garrett Gilbert, now you got to follow me here. You got to believe what you know, not what you see. What is it that you know that he played a competent game in the one start that he had? Not what you see, because he's playing with a center who bounced two snaps back as they try to figure out whether Connor Williams is ready to compete
right.
with Biotic for the starting job. So, you know, like I read my man Mac Engel, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, wrote a column basically ripping Garrett Gilbert. And I'm pretty sure, and I know Mac, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, that he didn't put anywhere in there basically that he's playing with a bunch of backups, that none of the key guys who started are playing. And that matters, man. That matters in addition to the fact that the Cowboys, I can't speak for other teams, the Cowboys don't do a lot of game planning for these games. And so they're running a base script just to evaluate guys. So believe what you know. This has everything you want it to be an explosive offense, not what you see, which is what has been trash for the first two games.
Which it has been. And, you know, the flip side of that coin is if you watched Arizona last night, after Colt McCoy went out, Chris Trevler came in, and that dude was a CFL stud. Like he could do all kinds of crazy things in the CFL. He had a nice game last night. He actually led Arizona in rushing yards. And again, barring crazy injury to Kyler Murray and Colt McCoy, Chris Trevler is never going to see the field.
Right.
You know, but here we are, and you take what you can see. Now, the same flip side of that is the defense, and I might be going out on a limb here. I don't think the defense is going to suck this year. I'm not saying that I think it's going to be good. I don't think they're going to be anywhere near what we saw last year. And I actually think that they've got a shot at being the average defense that we were hoping to have, because they've got some playmakers on the defensive side of the ball that were not here this year, that in two preseason games have started to show up.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was listening because I was going to say, why is it – like, I don't think you're going out on a limb. You know, I think they'll be solid on defense. But why is it that you think they'll be solid?
Micah Parsons, again, has shown us all we heard all through camp. When we had Archer on, we'd have Chill on. You know, we talked to these guys. And they tell you, Micah Parsons is the real deal. But we didn't get a chance to see it with our own eyes. He is so fast. He is so fast to the ball. He might be the fastest linebacker they have. And I got to tell you this, man. I don't know if Jalen Smith is truly any good or not. He makes Jalen Smith look like he's trying to run in molasses.
Yeah.
He is so much faster than Jalen Smith, and in just in normal game speed, without even having to go back and watch on the All-22, it is just blatantly obvious that dude can outrun Jalen Smith like crazy.
Well, I think it's two things, man, on the real. One, he's fast. He's a lot faster than Jalen Smith. And number two, even though he's a rookie, man, his instincts are better. When you combine speed and instincts, you look, you know, incredibly fast. I was hesitating because, you know, a lot of times Sean Lee didn't have the speed, but he had the instincts, and that made him look fast because he'd beat guys to a spot and make a play. So when you are really fast, Micah Parsons running sub 4.440, and you have instincts, when you read it right, dude, you're there. And, you know, the other team has no chance in that particular play.
Yeah, and then you saw another Keanu Neal, who was not here last year, that play that he had where Micah Parsons got there at essentially the same time. But Keanu Neal with a great strip of the ball and then recovered his own forced fumble. You just see things like this. And again, it goes back to, and we talked about this after, I guess, a chunk of free agency and after the draft, where they brought in 17 new names for defensive players, whether it was through the draft, free agency, and undrafted free agents. 17 new guys. And some of the guys that we are seeing make plays in the first couple of preseason games were not on this team last year. Now, can they do that in the regular season? I don't know, because I haven't seen it. I've seen Keanu Neal make plays in the regular season. But some of these other guys that are making plays, you know, Nashawn Wright, and hell, I ripped him. I thought, my God, you drafted a dude that high that you could have got maybe as an undrafted free agent. And Nashawn Wright, when he's had an opportunity, has made a couple of plays. And so my thing is that they've got some guys defensively that we have not seen as a Cowboy before that are making plays in the preseason that lead you to believe. And we've talked about this, man. Like, all you got to do is be average. Just be average. And if you can be an average defense, this team's going to beat a lot of other teams.
Yeah, I think they have a chance to do that, man. Like, I liked a lot of what I saw from the safety KZ last night. Mm. Just because he was doing what your safety is supposed to do. You come up, you feel, you make a tackle, and instead of a 10-yard run, it's a 6-yard run or a 5-yard run. I saw him punish somebody at the end of a catch. And I was like, all right, I see. He's just doing what a safety is supposed to do. Now, the problem is we haven't had that many safeties around here in Dallas who can do that on a consistent basis. Yeah. So we think it's some rare feat when a guy just does what he's supposed to do. But again, I think that was the beauty of bringing those guys in. I think Keanu Neal has looked good at what they've asked him to do. And I just think, and, you know, we've talked about this and kind of glossed over it, but to me, basically, if you go up and down the defense and just go, is this year's player better than last year's player? I think most of the time you look at it as an upgrade, and to me that means the overall defense should be upgraded.
Yeah, I think now, so as well. Yeah.
When you suck, it's easy to upgrade. But, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, even if we go Trayvon Diggs year two should be better than Trayvon Diggs year one. And when you look at it like that, and you go Leighton Vander Esch healthy should be better than Leighton Vander Esch last year who was beat up. Leighton Vander Esch playing for a contract should also be better than Leighton Vander Esch beat up. And, you know, Micah Parsons should be better than Jalen Smith. You know, and even if you have Jalen Smith playing strong side linebacker, yeah, he should be as good as Alden Smith was last year in doing that role. So, I mean, when you look at it like that, man, they got a chance to be better on defense. And again, dog, if they can play with a lead for a change, they will be better.
Yeah, which you'd still like to see in the preseason, like something where they have that opportunity to play with the lead.
You just ain't going to see it with this offense that they got right now.
And you're not, because they're not going to play Zeke. They're not going to play Cooper. They're not going to play Dak. You know, Tyron, Zach Martin. The Connor Williams thing is really interesting to me because they obviously really want him to be the backup center, and it's obvious he cannot be the backup center. But it's funny because, you know, a lot of you guys know that I'm about to move to Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm doing radio out there. And one of the guys that does the morning show on the station I'm on, it's Cole Kublik. A lot of you may not know that name. And it's Greg McElroy, who played at South Lake Carroll, won a national title at Alabama. He was the quarterback when they beat Texas. So Cole was a center. He played offensive line. He was a center at Auburn. And he tweeted something out last night about, my God, like he was watching the game, and I can't remember exactly what it was. I was like, hey, man, come on. It's not our starting quarterback. It's not our starting center. And he goes, it's a shotgun snap in the NFL. And I was like, you're right. Like if you can't hit a basic shotgun snap in the NFL, and he struggled with a couple of those snaps in the exchange, you know, but they really want Connor Williams to be able to be the backup. And it feels like they want him to be the backup so they don't have to carry an extra person that essentially is your backup center.
I think that's fair. And, you know, position flexibility is key.
Yeah.
In today's NFL where you got guards who can play tackle, guards who can play center. Yeah, I mean, you just got to have it because injuries are part of the game. Guys are going to get hurt. And you just got to be as flexible as you can for when they do get hurt.
Now, speaking of getting hurt, man, you hate to see the Gallimore injury last night. I thought, and everything you've heard is that Gallimore is legit, that he had made a really nice jump from year one to year two.
Right.
I actually thought it was as positive as it can be because the way he was riling around, I thought it was a torn bicep. Like, I thought, oh, my God, he's done for the year. This is surgery. It ends up being a dislocated elbow. It's 4 to 6 weeks, which 4 to 6 weeks, I mean, we're 3 weeks away from the start of the season.
Right. So even if it's 6 weeks, you miss the first three games.
Right.
And then you're back.
And by all accounts, he has made leaps and bounds. And they were kind of looking at him as being one of the starting DTs, which is – and again, that's a big loss early on, though, because Tristan Hill still is not activated off the pup. He's still physically unable to perform, which means the two dudes that they signed in free agency, Urban and I can't remember the other guy's name, but those two guys are going to have to be their starters. And it's weird, but that's probably at this point the weakest position group on this roster is up front between the edges in the middle there, the defensive line.
Well, that's a bad place to be weak, man, yeah, because they were 31st in the NFL in rushing last year. And you don't need to encourage people to run the ball against you. Now, one way you stop that is you get up 14-3, 10-0, and then people feel like they got to abandon their running game because your offense is so explosive. That, to me, the injury to Gallimore just puts more and more weight on the offense.
Yeah, Carlos Watkins was the other guy I was thinking of. And then, of course, they drafted their third-round pick this year, Osa Odighizuwa, who, again, he's a rookie, and you can throw him in there, but how much do you want to depend on a rookie? I thought last night along the front, Dorrance Armstrong had a really nice game. He was very active, had a couple of sacks, almost had a, you know, he batted that one ball up and almost had the pick. So all in all, and again, I can't even give you a thought on the offense. I don't even know what to tell you about the offense because it's just not anything close to what you're going to see. I mean, what you're watching in preseason is if the offense lost its top six guys, what would it look like? Well, there it is. You know, and it's if you go across the league and you say, take out your top six offensive players and let's see what you got, I don't know any team that overcomes that. So
no, it's going to be a lot of bad football if you do that. And that's why you got to believe what you know and not what you see.
Yeah.
And you also have to understand that week one, the first quarter and a half might be trash because these guys haven't played.
Yeah, it's very true. And that's what we're seeing. But defensively, I have no qualms or fear about the offense, but defensively is where I wanted to see some things happen. And I know it's the preseason, but so far, defensively, it feels like they've done some good moves in the offseason. And I like what I'm seeing. And, man, I know it's preseason. I'm trying not to get too excited, but Micah Parsons looks like he's a damn stud.
Yeah, I think the thing about Micah Parsons is he's showing you all the physical stuff, and then because of Hard Knocks and because of the mics and stuff, and as well as the mics that the Cowboys put on various players, you've gotten a glimpse of his personality, and you love his personality along with what it looks like he does as a football player.
So the Cowboys, of course, will have two more preseason games before the end of their preseason schedule as we – I mean, it's wild to think we're less than 3 weeks away, or I guess right at 3 weeks from.
Actually, they got three more games.
They have three more? I thought they were playing four. No, they only have four games. Yeah, they're playing four, and everybody else has three.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because they got the Texans next Saturday, the 21st, and then they got the Jaguars on Sunday, the 29th.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, and then, of course, they open the season on September 9th, almost exactly. We're coming up on almost exactly 3 weeks away when they open the season with the Bucs. So Texans and Jags, two more games to go. They got 8 days before the next one, and we'll see how it plays out. But it's preseason. It's funny because, like, offense, you don't read anything into it. And defense, I'm reading it like, oh, my God, this is great. So it's
all
what
about
it is.
How you want to see things, man.
It is, man. It's what it is. And I'll tell you this. If you haven't been to Beer Geek Shop in downtown Rockwall, my question to you is why? And you're going, well, Matt, I'm not a beer guy. Oh, okay. You think you're not a beer guy.
Yeah, I thought I wasn't a beer guy.
Exactly. And you know why? Because you haven't been to Beer Geek Shop yet. Go to Beer Geek Shop. You get the Jam Session 6-pack. It's six beers for $18. Three that I picked, three that Jacques picked. Jason and Deidre, it's a local family-owned place right off the square in downtown Rockwall. Every beer available in singles. You may not be a beer person. You may, and I get messages from a couple of you guys like, man, I'm not a beer person, but you intrigue me with the way that you talk about beer. Just go tell Deidre that. Go tell, like, hey, I'm not a beer person, but I feel like I want to try something. She will find something you will like. I promise you that. Maybe you're an expert. They've got stuff you've never had. And I know that because I'm a beer expert and they've got stuff I've never had.
And they've got stuff because I'm not a big beer expert that I never even knew existed.
Exactly.
But the beauty of it is, and Deidre did it to me, you know, and I'll never forget it, man. She said, well, what flavors do you like? I said, I like coffee. That's really my main thing. I like pretty much anything flavored coffee. She goes, I got this thing called Black Matters, which is my favorite. Mm. You got to try it. It's got coffee. It's got cookie. I mean, it's got chocolate in it. You'll love it. And I said, okay. And she gave it to me, and I tried, and I'm like, Wow. Okay, yeah. I'm hooked now. Let me try some more of that, some more in that genre. And I've just been expanding ever since then, bro.
It's Beer Geek Shop. It's downtown Rockwall. They've got it for you. And they've got that Jam Session six-pack. Six beers. Six craft beers for $18. Go make it happen. Beer Geeks in downtown Rockwall. Also, of course, Blue Star Motor Group. We've been telling you about these guys. And again, all of us at some point have to have a vehicle. Now, maybe it's not even for you. Maybe you've got a kid who's about to turn 16, or it's a birthday present for your wife. Who knows? But reality of it is, Blue Star Motor Group, if you are going to purchase a car and you don't give Blue Star Motor Group a call, then when you wonder how come you spent so much, that's your own damn fault. Because Blue Star Motor Group is going to take care of you, and you will get a better deal with a local family-owned establishment than you'll get at a dealership. That's just reality. Part of it is because they don't have any overhead. It's Deb and her husband, Mike, and they will take care of you.
They do it all, man. The best thing about them to me is if you call Deb, not only is she the deal maker, so there is nobody else, there is no middleman you got to contact, she gets back to you lickety-split, man. You text her, she hits you back, I promise you, 99% of the time it's within 10 minutes. Most of the time it's within 5. I've had a bunch of conversations with her lately through text, and the communication is fantastic. They're the best, man. Whether you're buying a car or selling a car, you deal with Blue Star Motor Group, you will feel like you won.
Superior quality. It's Carfax certified. It's pre-owned vehicles of all makes and models. You can call her, you can text her, whatever. 817-881-4066. If you haven't spent a few minutes on their website yet, just go do it. Just tease yourself. All right, bluestarmotorgroup.com. And if you're looking to sell, don't forget, they will come to you. They will pay you cash on site for your vehicle. But you got to check them out. It's Blue Star Motor Group, bluestarmotorgroup.com. They're big fans of what we do here on Jam Session. We love these guys. Give Deb a call, 817-881-4066. You know, speaking of vehicles and cars, I have not taken a road trip as long as the one I am about to embark on in 5 years. And
wow,
it's because as I've gotten older, like my body, it just, the longer I spend in a car, it just doesn't work for me anymore. And I'm good like 5 or 6 hours. But once I get it past 6 hours, I'm like, man, I just start, I don't know. It's hard to describe. But obviously, as I mentioned, many of you know, I'm about to move to Birmingham, Alabama. It's from where I live in Irving, it's a 650-mile drive.
Okay.
Which is about 9 to 9.5 hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I am leaving on Sunday afternoon. Me and the lady are going to Birmingham. I will be out there all next week. And we're driving because we need our car. I went out there a couple of weeks ago, as many of you know, and it was weird because we were trying to find a place, but we had to take Uber and Lyft and whatnot, and you'd get to a place, they'd drop you off, you'd look at it, and 10 minutes later, you needed to call another one.
Right, right.
I was like, this is ridiculous. Right. I was like, you know what? It's a beating to drive, but it's so much easier when we get there. We can look at anything we want. We can go anywhere we want. We don't have to rely on anything else. We need the car.
Right.
So we're road tripping it tomorrow, and I will tell you, I think I've always thought this, like if you've got a good friend or you've got a significant other, one of the best ways to learn really who you guys are, if you don't know each other that well, is a road trip.
Yeah, brother, that can work both ways.
Did you ever see that movie, Heartbreak Kid?
No.
With Ben Stiller and, oh, what's her face? It's the blonde lady. I can't remember her name. She's been in a bunch of stuff. I'll look it up real quick. But in The Heartbreak Kid, so he meets this woman, Ben Stiller's character. He meets this lady, and they just hit it off, and it's great, and everything's going well. Oh, Malin Ackerman. That girl. Yeah, anyway, so they meet, and in this city, I think they like meet in Boston maybe, or New, I can't remember, Chicago, wherever, doesn't matter. And they meet, and they hit it off, and like within 6 weeks, they get engaged, and they get married. And then they're going to honeymoon, and they go on a road trip to Mexico. And on the road trip, he starts to realize, oh, my God, I hate this person. But he'd never spent, you know, however long, whatever, 15, 16 hours in a car. And when you're in a finite space with somebody for that long, you really get a sense of, okay, are we as good of friends of a, as I thought we were, or are like, holy hell, like I just can't be around this person like this.
Dude, that that kind of happened to me. That's happened to me before, man. Not to the point I didn't like him anymore, but to the point where I was like, oh, maybe I need to reevaluate the situation and see if this is really what I want to dip my toe into, because I don't know about this. And see, it's not just the conversation, man. It can be a bunch of things. It can be, I got to stop and go to the bathroom every 90 minutes or every 100 miles or whatever it is. It's, I mean, you know, it can be any number of things. The temperature in the car, the music you're listening to, whatever. And if you don't hit it off, man, you're like, dude, I am stuck in the car with this person for the next little bit.
Yeah, like however long it is, because you can't go anywhere. So apparently I was just looking it up. So they were in San Francisco, and they had their honeymoon in Cabo, which is a 30-hour drive.
Wow.
So in the movie kind of plays out, and he realizes on the drive, like, oh, my God, he finally gets to the hotel, and all he wants to do is get away from her. His new wife, right? And I will tell you this. One of the things that I love about my lady friend is we take really, really good road trips together. And we have gotten into a rhythm where, I don't know, it's just like if there's a Buc-ee's to stop at, we'll stop at Buc-ee's. We kind of both like certain types of podcasts. Like she's really into kind of the podcasts you like the murder mystery type podcast stuff.
Right.
You know, where she'll listen to that and we'll do some of that. We'll chat a little bit. But I've also thought that one of the things that you can learn about somebody is if you can't just be with somebody.
Yeah, bro.
Without having to talk. Like, you don't feel like I've got to talk. I don't have to mention anything. You don't have to tell me anything. If
we're just sitting here.
Right. Like we're just, and some, maybe it's an hour. Maybe it's an hour and a half. But if at some point in the drive you can't just be, then you got a real problem.
No, you got a super duper problem, man. And, you know, it's one of my good friends whose name, it's a female, whose name will I'm just not going to name her to protect her. She told me one time that's part of her thing. Like, she goes, I don't want to talk all the time. She goes, I have broken up with so many dudes because we traveled somewhere and they just couldn't stop talking, feeling dead air. And I'm just like, shut it up. And by the time we got back, I was like, I'm done with you. And I was like, are you serious? She goes, yeah, sometimes silence is great. And I go, you know, you're not wrong. And so I've always kept that in mind ever since she told me that, just because I thought it was funny, man.
Yeah, it's wild. So tomorrow, I mean, Jacques and I are recording it this weekend, and I'm going to do, I got to be in Birmingham all next week. And part of the reason is because we got to find a place to live. Like, we got to go out there. We got to figure out where we're going to live. And, you know, I've made that drive many, many times just because of coming back and forth before now. And it's one of those things where you look for, all right, well, you got to drive out east, and you're going to take, from where I live, I'll jump on 30, I'll hit 80, I take 80 to 20, and then eventually you're going through Kilgore, Longview, and then you hit the Texas border, and right after that, you're in Shreveport. And you know this because you've done this drive to Jackson.
Yes, 6 hours, baby.
You know, where you get that nothingness in between Shreveport and Monroe, and then you get to Monroe, and there's nothingness till you get to Vicksburg, right across the Mississippi, and then Vicksburg's about 30 minutes to Jackson. Well, then Jackson, on the other side of Jackson, there is nothing for at least an hour and a half till you get to Meridian.
Really?
And then I thought about, you know what, maybe I should tell Shaji, like, hey, man, I'm rolling through Meridian. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not stopping. And then from Meridian, you kind of start heading north. You hit Tuscaloosa, which is about an hour, 45 minutes on the west side of Birmingham. Then you're in Birmingham. But, I mean, that's one of those drives where you don't go through any big cities. Like, Shreveport and Jackson are probably the two biggest cities you go through on that drive. Not probably, they are.
I was going to say, I think you're right.
And the problem is, like, when you go through Dallas, like, if you come in, say you're driving 20 going east and you go through DFW, you're looking at city and you're looking at stuff for like an hour and a half.
Right.
You know, and that helps to pass the time. It does, man. You go through Shreveport or Jackson, you go through that city in 20 minutes, bro. And then you're just like, okay, now what? Great, more land, bro. More trees.
Exactly. You know, I hadn't really thought about it like that, but you're right. I think Now, I will tell you this, though, man. The whole drive thing for me, because, you know, I'm not, I don't, you talk, I mean, dude, driving to Jackson is about my max.
Yeah.
Because I just, and that's 6 hours, and I'm just like, I don't like to drive. I like to get where I'm going and go enjoy what I'm doing or whatever.
Yep.
But I will say, the audio book and the podcast has changed the world. Because even, like, even radio stations, you know, they would come in and out and in and out, in and out. And even if you got your phone and you listen to music, that's cool. But the podcast, to me, keeps my mind active. And then if I'm listening to a book, that also keeps my mind active. And it makes the drive much, 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 much more manageable than they ever were before.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that helps tremendously where you can listen to something and just time kind of goes by as you're driving. But I'm a fan of the road trip. I used to love it a lot more. I mean, I used to drive all over the place. I've driven from Dallas to Denver, from Dallas to Pittsburgh, from Dallas to Chicago. But, man, for whatever reason, like as I've gotten older, it just becomes, I don't even know how to describe it. Like there are times where I just feel like I got to stop. I got to walk around for 5 to 10 minutes. It's just harder.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, bro. And, you know, and like I made that trip to Jackson a bunch this spring because, one, it was a lot of work, and two, there wasn't anything else going on that prevented me from driving, per se. And I got to tell you, dude, that's 6 hours. Even if you're getting in and out every, you know, couple hours, it's still like your body does get tired and fatigued just from being in it.
Yeah, and the older you get, I swear, it just affects you more. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Like, that's kind of how come, like, now, like, I'd rather fly, but flying obviously costs more, and then you don't have your vehicle, and it just kind of adds up to where, okay, I got to rent a car. I got to have all these different things going on. It's just so much easier space-wise for what we need to accomplish on the trip that we need to do this week that we have to have the car. It just makes sense. So there it is. Maybe you have to have your car. Maybe you're wondering, what is this? What's going on? Did you go to Freeway Tire Shop? Did they tell you? I don't know. No, I didn't go there. Well, maybe you should. Jacques's taking all 85 of his cars there.
The thing about Freeway Tire, man, and I'm going to say it forever, is that JR gives you a feeling of trust. And anybody, if you don't work on cars, whenever you take your car to the mechanic, you're always like, are you beating me? Are you taking advantage of me? Because I don't really know. And what I love about JR is you don't have that feeling, man. It's all about trust. You trust that he's doing good work. You trust that he's putting good new parts in your car. You trust that the price he's charging you is a fair price. And then you don't mind paying it, and you feel good when you drop it off because of the trust factor, and you feel good when you pick it up because of the trust factor.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just elite level customer service. It could be anything from as simple as an oil change to a state inspection to a lot of the mechanical work that Jacques has had done on his vehicles. JR is going to take care of you. It's Freeway Tire Shop. It's just north of downtown Dallas. You can request a quote. You can schedule an appointment. Ooh, I heard charge me up. Maybe JR is telling you charge me up. I don't know. It's freewaytireshop.com. Check them out. For real, I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to be disappointed. And I want you to go simply so that you can tweet at us or send us messages. And he goes, holy hell, you guys are exactly right. My mind's blown by the level of customer service, because it will be. It's JR and his crew. Let them know that you're a part of the Jam Session family. They'll get you taken care of at Freeway Tire Shop, freewaytireshop.com. Also, of course, HFX Foundation Solutions. It's that time of the year, and we've kind of been talking about this lately because during the month of August, it happened today. It's been so hot all week. It's been 100 plus whatever all week. And then today we had a torrential downpour for like an hour. At least we did where I live. I mean, it was like crazy rain that just sky just opened up for about an hour. And when that happens, because of the crazy heat and the amount of water, it can really cause some stuff with the soil, which can cause your foundations to shift. And if that is happening, you might start noticing some cracks, some doors sticking and whatnot. You may not have a problem. You might or you might not. It's a free inspection, which is why you should give HFX Foundation Solutions a call so that they can come out and do that free inspection for you and just give you a peace of mind, man. Who knows? Maybe you do have a problem. Maybe you don't. But wouldn't you like to find out rather than waiting for it to get worse where it costs more money down the road?
I think what we're thinking about is the same thing, man. It's peace of mind, man. And what HFX does is they come in, and if there is a problem, guess what? They diagnose it. They find it early. It's a fraction of the cost. And if they come in and check it out, which doesn't cost you a thing, and they find nothing, guess what? You ain't got to worry about nothing. That's why we often refer to it as a colonoscopy for your house. And, you know, it's the peace of mind that I like, man. It's not having to worry, not having to wonder. I can sleep good at night.
817-770-0174. A-rated with the Better Business Bureau online, hfxfoundation.com. And again, that number, 817-770-0174. All right, so we had something else we were going to get into, and I completely forgot. What was it? Not the book club. What was the other thing? Jacques forgot.
Field of Dreams.
Oh, my God. Yes, Field of Dreams. Thank you. Did you watch any of that?
I watched slivers of it. I did go back and watch some of the highlights. I like the walk-off homer by your boy Tim. He's one of my favorite players. But I thought it was a cool setting, man. And Twitter was going wild, and a lot of times that'll drive me to it. But something was going on that night where I was distracted. But I paid a lot of attention to it, much more than I would have, because everybody kept talking about how cool it was.
Dude, I couldn't believe how suckered in I was. I really couldn't, because I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it an inning. I'll be good. I watched it at the beginning. When they came out of the corn, I almost lost it.
Did you?
I almost went insane. I the image of those dudes coming out of the corn, and the Kevin Costner thing was a bit much, because he walked out and the Field of Dreams music was playing, and then I was like, what is he going to do? Like, what is happening? This is really weird. But then the players came out. I was like, oh, my God, this is gold. Like, this is crazy awesome. One of, if not the best, and it probably is the best I've ever seen, because I can't recall another one better, player entrance I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they came out of the corn, man. It's like they just appeared, like the ghosts in Field of Dreams, right? The movie. Like, it blew my mind. The aesthetics, the presentation, and for those that don't know, it's the highest rated regular season baseball game since 1998. Which, what was 1998? McGuire, Soso, home run chase. Right.
Yeah.
It's the highest rated regular season baseball game since the home run chase of 98. Think about that. And it made sense to me because I kept going back to it. I don't care. I hate the Yankees. I don't care about the White Sox. And I kept, because there was two NFL preseason games on that night. And I'd flip to them and I'd watch those for like a series. And I went right back to the baseball game. I could not get enough of the presentation and the way it looked, the way it felt. It just felt like it was not about business, which is odd because it is, and they did that for that purpose. But it felt like this is what baseball at its core is supposed to be. And I think it helped that the game was good. You know, there was multiple home runs. There was multiple balls put into play. It wasn't just strikeouts and walks.
I was going to ask you, what was it about? Because all the stuff you mentioned had nothing to do with the game. It's about the presentation and what it looked like and the memories that it brought back, and whether that's something that's replicable, whether that's something you can replicate,
yeah,
or whether that's just, you know, once a year we feel good about baseball and the rest of the time we're still worried about the three, you know, outcomes and, you know, launch angles and the fact that nobody really seems to care about baseball.
Dude, it was, I don't know, man, like the presentation of it, I just kept thinking, if, you know, all baseball games looked like this, I'd watch a lot more.
But see, I don't think you would.
And you're right, I wouldn't, because it wouldn't be as special. At some point,
right, you get used to it. I don't think this is a new thought. I mean, let me put it like this. I don't think this is an original thought by any means. But it just popped in my head, so forgive me. It seems to me that baseball is becoming more and more and more like hockey every year, in the sense of, there's a few places in America that really care about hockey, and the rest of them, even if they have a team, are kind of like, ah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I think that's like baseball. It's really regional. You know, hockey's really regional. I think baseball is really regional. If you're St. Louis, okay, Chicago, New York, Boston, you know, baseball is everything to you. L.A. with the Dodgers, perhaps San Francisco. Baseball is to you.
Yeah.
You get it. If you're not in one of those, and, you know, I left out a couple. If you're not in one of those spots, though, baseball is like, oh, it's all right, man. If we good, I'll go out there and check them out. If we not good, you know, it's whatever, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Winter Classic in hockey, you know, to me, because I think even when it's teams I don't care about, I always stop down on that for a little bit just because of the aesthetics of it. Like, yeah, the game presentation is really cool to watch. And I thought, if I was baseball, I would try to figure out how to do, and maybe it's the Field of Dreams a couple of times a year. Maybe it's trying to figure out how to do like the Sandlot type setup. Even if you have to fake movie prop replicate it, just play a game like that a couple of times a year. You know, just to give you that old nostalgic type vibe that pulls people in. And maybe there's like, when I was doing my show the other day in Birmingham, Rickwood Field, which is one of the oldest fields in the entire country. Rickwood Field is in Birmingham, and it's an old Negro League stadium that has been around for years and years and years. It was actually built in, I believe, 1910. So right. It's literally one of, if not the oldest, it's one of the very oldest in the entire country. And it seats about 10,000. And a few years ago, they went back through and kind of renovated it. And they still, from time to time, will play like a minor league game there. I thought, man, you know, to show the history of the Negro Leagues and to show just the history of the game, that would make a phenomenal setting and a phenomenal backdrop for that type of game that they did at Field of Dreams.
I could get into that if they got, and you know, I think that might be a way to showcase the history and showcase the game and bring it back.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also, if you really want to do it, man, it's hard to do that and bring up that feeling if the cheapest ticket is like damn near $400.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're pricing out the vast majority of people because you're not going to the game by yourself.
No.
So that's you and somebody else. That's damn near $1,000. And if you're talking about the traditional family of four, dude, you're already basically almost at $2,000, and nobody can do that.
No, you're right. But I just wonder, is there a way to do it? And, you know, that was one thing that was cool about the game the other night was anytime they showed a shot of the outfield, there were no fans. Like, there's no stands, like, past third base and first base.
Right.
The rest of the field was open. I thought, man, that's cool. And they hit it into the corn, and that was awesome. And at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, the outfield's like how it used to be back in the day. Like, remember Sportsman Park? Where is that? St. Louis, I guess?
Yeah, with that huge fence.
Yeah, and they had that big fence, and it was all ads all over the whole outfield wall.
Yep.
Rickwood Field is like that. It just has this old 19... I mean, it's been around for 110 years or whatever it's been now. You know, and it has that old feel to it of stadiums that you just don't see anymore. And I wonder if they could play on something like that where maybe it's, okay, we're going to do, I don't know, two or three games a year at Field of Dreams, two or three games a year at Rickwood, and then two or three games a year out of this Sandlot movie lot set we built.
See, I don't know, man. You're inching up on games where it's not quite so special. I mean, they don't do
Maybe it's just one. Maybe it's one at each location.
Yeah, that might work. Because you got to make it special. Otherwise, people are just like, whatever. We'll see it again next year.
And it's not like they got anything to lose.
No, but that's why the Winter Classic is cool, because it only shows up this one time, and you just kind of look forward to that, and it is what it is.
So elsewhere, and again, this is going to be a quick podcast today, and I know some of you are like, we want more, but again, Jacques and I, you know, we try to do this when we have free time, and with our travels lately here before football season really gets rolling, it's just kind of made it a little bit tough, but
we're also in the preseason, so y'all can relax just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit.
It's going to be okay because, again, we've got Ed Werder joining our podcast in the fall. We've got Todd Archer. We got Clarence Hill Jr. We got Jacques. We're going to have all secret audio of a Cowboys homer. We got all this ready to go for when the Cowboys games actually start coming your way, so don't worry about that part.
True that.
I was actually here today. I went to False Idol Brewing and hung out for a bit and saw some of my buddies over there. I had the energy, and I told you guys about this. I said, they're releasing a couple beers. I got to go get them. Their New England-style IPAs, that hazy IPA, the Nelson single hop beer that they have is phenomenal. They've got it in cans. I bought a four-pack myself. They also have another one that they did that's a collaboration with a brewery out of Oklahoma City that some of you may be familiar with called Rough Tail. And they've got, they should still have some available if you make it out there, but they've got the four-pack collabs that they did with Rough Tail that are available. It's called Out of the Zeitgeist. And it is an 8.6 hazy IPA collab with Rough Tail and False Idol. And they did it with Citra, Incognito, Mosaic, El Dorado, I mean, Idaho 7. It's fantastic. My God, it was good. Again, it's False Idol Brewing. It's local. It's family-owned. It's such a cool place, man. I hadn't been over there in a few weeks and was able to get out there today and just hang out for a bit and see some of my old friends and whatnot over there and just really enjoyed it. I think you will too. And I'll tell you this, keep in mind, every Monday, 15% off to-go beer. So the beers I just named are available in four packs. You can get it for 15% off on Monday.
That's a damn good deal, peeps.
Yep. So go do it. Make it happen, okay? I'm telling you. False Idol Brewing. It's off Boulevard 26. It's right there in North Richland Hills. I mean, it's, I wouldn't even say a mile. I don't know, half mile, three quarters of a mile off just north of 183 on Boulevard 26. So check them out. It's False Idol Brewing. Little book club time. And you know what's interesting? I have read, since the last time we've done book club, I think I've read three books.
Is that right?
Yeah, I read.
The last time you were reading was a Secret Service book, I think.
Okay, well then I read Project Hail Mary, which is a fiction book by Andy Weir, who was the author of The Martian that they turned into a movie with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
This one is called Project Hail Mary. It's, I don't know, about 500 pages. And it's one of the best books I've read. I loved it. Really? I absolutely loved it. Now, it's science fiction, and it deals with the end of Earth in the future and what this guy does to help save Earth by exploring deep space with technology we've discovered, and how he kind of encounters another form of intelligence in space. And they're making that a movie. Ryan Gosling's going to play the title character. And I can't wait to see their interpretation of it, because the way that the book plays out, it just, I can't wait to see what their interpretation on film would be. And I'm not going to ruin it because it just came out. So not a lot of people probably read it. I mean, it came out like less than a month ago.
Right, right.
It is. I couldn't put it down. I read 500 pages in 2 days.
Damn.
I couldn't put. I mean, I was spending. I think one day I spent like 5 hours reading it.
Is that right?
I could not put the book down. It was incredible. Wow. But you have to like that genre, and your mind has to be open to extraterrestrial life and the possibility of things like that.
Man, that's impressive.
But man, it was good. I mean, God, it was good.
Well, I've been reading I'm reading a couple books, but this one is taking the lead right now. I'm doing my usual. I'm reading one of the Bosch books. Mm. Which
one?
Let me see. This is a very interesting book because it kind of the Bosch book is The Closers.
Oh, The Closers is good.
Well, it's pretty interesting to me because it's basically about Bosch getting back into the police force after a 2-year absence,
yeah.
Where he's kind of doing his own thing as a private investigator, and he's closing cold cases. And dude, the way what is it? It's like I'm at some point in the book. It's early on in the book where he's like reading some court testimony or something, and I'm just thinking while I'm reading it, I can't believe Michael Connelly just went and wrote the damn court transcript just like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In terms of the detail that you'd have to do to make it sound the right way and all of that. And then he was reading an autopsy report, and it was so much. I'm like, this is so detailed. Like, I don't even want to hear it. It's so detailed. But it's fascinating in writing in terms of, because y'all know I'm a writer, so I get down on how writers write.
Yeah.
But that's one book I was reading. But the main book I'm reading right now, it's got a twofold purpose. It's called Across the River. It's by Kent Babb of the Washington Post. And it's based off of, he follows a high school football team in New Orleans and talks about all the stuff that they got to do to survive living in New Orleans in addition to trying to play championship level football, because the year he covered them, 2019, they had been undefeated the previous 2 years. And what happened was he went down there as a reporter for the Washington Post and wrote a story. and was so fascinated by the feature story that he wrote, he decided to come back, basically hang out for a year and turn it into a book. And it's I'm early in the book, like chapter 3 or 4, but it's really good the way he's laid it out. And one of the reasons I got this book is I know he's really good, but two, I'll kind of share this with y'all. Don't tell nobody. All right. But I'm writing a book about my son's senior year at DeSoto, and it's about fathers and sons in football. And it's not just me. It's about some other fathers and sons on the team and their interaction and how they've, you know, how their lives have brought them to the point where they're watching their kids play football at one of the 6A powers in the state.
Yeah.
And so I've been reading a lot of books like this just to get a feel for the types of ways people have approached kind of hanging out with a team for a year and writing a book. Obviously, it'd be a little bit different because I got a son on the team. And it's really about us and our relationship, but it's about a lot of fathers and sons, especially black fathers and sons, because, you know, black fathers a lot of times get a bullshit rap for not taking care of their kids and not being involved in their lives and not doing the things that fathers are supposed to do. And so, because I am a black father, did y'all know that?
I did know.
I just thought it was a good way. It's something I always wanted to do if he was going to be an athlete. And now the timing seems to be just right because I have time to kind of do it. And so that's one of the reasons I'm reading this book. But the book is fantastic, man. It's off to a really good start.
Yeah, that sounds good. That actually sounds really good. You know, I read the Matthew McConaughey book, Green Lights. And I zipped through that, and it's interesting. Green Lights was an interesting read because he's a very positive energy person. And it's... For anybody who has ever listened to Matthew McConaughey in any interview or outside of just watching his movies, it just was his consciousness on paper, right, which is kind of interesting. Like, there were some parts of it I was like, what in the world is this? You know, he tells a lot of outrageous stories. At some points, I felt like he was embellishing. But then, like, at the core of what it was, it goes back to everything that I think... I'm a big believer in positive energy and staying positive and, you know, trying to keep that going versus being negative and attracting negative things to you and those types of things. And at the core of what it was, there was a lot of that. It was an interesting read. I don't know. I still don't know what I thought, if it was like amazing or whatever, but it was one man's journey through 50 years of his life as a Hollywood guy who's obviously made multiple millions. And I will say, like, some of it would be, you would have to be in a situation to where you could, like at points he'd be like, you know, I just knew I had to get away. Like my dreams were telling me it's time to go. And I'm like, well, not everybody has the opportunity to spend 3 months in the Amazon rainforest, you know, just you because know? They had a dream about it, you know, but he could, cause he had the money to do so. But it was interesting cause he talked about, even like when he had already made it in Hollywood and was a star, essentially, he lived in an Airstream and just drove around the country.
Everybody can't do that, man.
Right. And he would just stay, he would stay in his Airstream and with his dog, and he lived essentially in the Airstream, and he'd just pull up at a trailer park or an RV park or whatever and just hang out for a while.
Well, you know what, dog? I'm going to take that back, man. I'm going to take that back. Actually, a lot of people could do that.
Sure. You could do that.
You just have to decide what's important to you. And most people, like, yeah, I got to pay my bills. I got to do this. I got to do that. I just can't drop out of life, so to speak, for 3 months or 6 months. Because when I pop back in, it ain't going to be nothing like the same.
Yeah.
But sometimes you hear about people who just be like, you know what? Bump it. I'm finna go do me for a year. I'll figure it out when I get back. But I'm just going to go explore the world and see what I'm all about. And they get an RV and, you know, just hang out with their dog.
Yeah, and there was some of that in there. And then I've read a couple of John Grisham books as well that I really enjoy. Like, sometimes it's like really, I like John Grisham. I like legal thrillers at times. And I'm reading one right now called Camino Island, which is really good. And I'm about halfway through that. And I read one, I'm trying to remember the title of what it was, because I read that in a couple of days. And you know, I just, there are certain authors whose style that I like. I like the storytelling. And John Grisham is one of those, where I haven't read all of his books, but I've read a lot of them.
Right.
You know, and I can go through those books pretty quickly, and I just enjoy that style from time to time. And, you know, there's a couple of authors, I guess, what I'll do is when I finish reading a book, I go through and I say, okay, what's on the New York Times bestseller list?
Really?
Yeah. And I look at both fiction and nonfiction, and I read synopsis, and I go, am I interested in that? I don't know. Do I feel like reading that right now? I don't know. And then if I don't feel it, I just default to an author that I know that I like, and I read whatever book I know from him that I haven't read.
All right.
Just to kind of get me going and keep my reading streak alive, so to speak. Like,
okay, what is the reading streak?
I've read, not every day. My streak for reading in a row, I think it was like 72 days in a row.
Wow.
But that now, like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I read every day. But I read probably 5 nights a week, and my weekly, I'd have to look it up, but my weekly streak is something like I've read at least sometime during every week for like 3 years in a row.
Damn, I'm not anywhere close to that. Although I will tell y'all, the audio book has been a game changer for me. Because now a lot of times, and I may have told y'all this in the past, but now when I'm at the gym in the morning, when me and my boy aren't solving all the world's problems, I listen to audiobooks about self-development in the morning. That's when and you'd be like, well, how can you listen to a book while you're lifting?
Yeah.
You'd be amazed. It's some of it is just osmosis. It gets into you. But when you're taking that 45 seconds in between sets or jumping rope or whatever, you can hear something. And the way audiobooks are set up now, if I need to stop and bookmark something, hey, that sounded good, let me bookmark that, I'll come back to that later, I do that. And then a lot of times what I do at the end of the book is I've got a notebook, and I go back, write the title of the book, and I go back, man, to all the bookmarks that I made, because those were the salient points to me. And I'll write those bookmarks, those key points, in my notebook, so that I've got kind of a ledger of what the book was all about to me. But that's the way I read a lot. And then when I get in the car, man, if I don't have one of two or three podcasts I listen to on, then basically I'm listening to a book, either a fiction book, Michael Conley, normally, Bosch series, or,
yeah,
like I said, now that I've worked these other books in, one of these other books that I'm working in.
Yeah, it's interesting because like two of the series that I read both have, like Harry Bosch, the next book coming out, which is also a Renee Ballard book, comes out in November. And then Jack Reacher. I've read all the Jack Reacher books that Lee Child writes. And his next book also comes out in November. And I'd have to go back and count. I think it's something like 20 some odd Harry Bosch books. I know there's 25 Jack Reacher books. And the 26th one comes out in November. And it's wild because they come out within 2 weeks of each other in November. So I know for sure I'm going to read both of those, because I'll read the Harry Bosch book in 3 days, and I'll probably, you know, Jack Reacher will be like 2 or 3 days as well, because I love those characters. And then it's I don't know, it goes back and forth to me. Like I love nonfiction, but it's got to be about a subject that I really want to read.
Right.
And then fiction, like Andy Weir was interesting, because I'd never read any of the Andy Weir books. But I read a synopsis. I was like, man, that sounds fascinating. And then I started reading. I was like, holy crap, this is crazy good. And so now I know, like most Andy Weir books, I would assume I would probably like, because I really like that Project Hail Mary book quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes, man. Authors, once they show you what they're all about, they're pretty consistent, man.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything different than anything else. Like, there are a couple podcasts that I wait for them to get released so I can listen to them that week. Just like I know there are people who look forward to our podcast, like, oh, when's it dropping? When's it dropping? When's it dropping? And since it drops, they're often listening to it just because they like the vibe we got. And so I don't think it's any different with any other podcast or when it comes to books, any other authors. When you like them, you can't wait for their stuff to come out. And just like those books you're talking about, or musicians, if there's some group or some singer you like and he's like, oh, or her, here's my album coming out, you're like, great, I've been waiting.
So there you have it. You've got that. And then how about this? Because while we're doing the podcast, did you see that this dude tonight, in his first ever major league start, threw a no-hitter?
Yeah, you know what? I lied. I did see that. And I was like, that is fantastic, but dude, okay, you've screwed yourself, because you suck from here on out.
His name is Tyler Gilbert, 27 years old. He pitches for the worst team in the major leagues, the Arizona Diamondbacks. He threw a no-hitter today. This is Saturday when we're recording this. August 14th, his first ever career major league start. He no-hit San Diego. And what's really bizarre is he's the fourth pitcher to do this. The fourth to throw a no-hitter in his first major league start, but the first since 1953.
Whoa, that is forever.
I mean, how wild is that?
First since 19. I was trying to figure out who the other three were, but I'm so old knows? That
yeah,
who knows?
Good luck. Do you remember Bobo Holloman?
Actually, I do. You know why?
Who the hell is that?
He's a pitcher, but the only reason I remember him is because this was about 2 years ago. Somebody told me about this, and I used to play Stratomatic baseball with my college buddies all the time.
Yep.
And somebody told me you could play online. And I said, well, I'll go check it out. And I checked it out, and it was actually pretty cool. And I played a season online of Stratomatic baseball, and one of the pitchers on my team was Bobo Holloman.
That's amazing, dude. And the reason why that's amazing is because this dude only was in the major leagues for 3 months. In 1953, he appeared in 10 games. He was 3-7 overall. And in his first major league start in May 6, 1953, he threw a no-hitter. Literally was in the majors. He got called up on April 18th. And was sent down July 19th. He was in the majors for 3 months, and that was all he ever did.
Dude, how wild is that? Because I didn't know that was his story. I just knew he was on my team. That's why I remember the name.
I mean, not quite Moonlight Graham from Field of Dreams, but holy hell, dude.
That is wild. Dude, as a baseball guy, see, you could play Stratomatic baseball.
Oh, for sure I could.
Online, because you buy a team because of salaries. You can swap guys in and out. Yeah. And it was I think the teams I had was you could basically anybody was available from, you know, the start of baseball through, you know, whatever year I was playing, 2015 or whatever. Yeah. It's just about how you match the salaries up. But then what happens is, you know, other guys are playing. So you just, once your roster is set, you can set your roster for right-handed, left-handed, this or that. But then the computer plays the game, so you're not involved. You just look up and see how the scores were and how your team performed.
Stratomatic baseball, there you have it. All right, fairly short podcast this Monday here, but hopefully most of you guys enjoy that, and we'll have a little bit more going on. But again, it's off season, and you know we wanted to make sure. I got to tell you, I mean, this was a tough one to bust out tonight because you were like, I was free earlier today, and they're like, no, I can't do it then, and then you couldn't. It just became a thing where, you know, you try to make it work, and we try to put out what we can for you guys. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Short but sweet, like they say. Thanks for listening to the Jam Session Podcast. Make sure to find us on Instagram at Jam Session Cast. Of course, on Twitter at McMatt Radio at JJT_journalist. As always, this podcast sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal. So give them a call. 972-934-8900, 972-934-8900, Greening Law Office, Dallas, Texas. Thanks to Purple Elephant Music for the music you hear at the end and beginning of each episode. He, of course, is a radio, TV, and now podcast star, the sexy Jean-Jacques Taylor. And me? Well, I'm just a guy, Matt McLaren. We'll catch you next time on the Jam Session Podcast, available everywhere you listen to podcasts.